Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's do this. Hello, everybody. Welcome to what could be a new show that we're doing here on YouTube. And, of course, I'm recording this for my podcast, so welcome to the Tom Davis new show. I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of things that roll through my head, things that happen throughout the week that I thought would be helpful for you guys and also just open the discussion. I love the No Bad Dogs community. I love the positivity. I love the no fluff, call it as it is, thing that we've built. And so I thought this would be a good thing that, and I'm just doing this by myself, producing it, and I just wanted to make it for you guys. And so a couple people sent this new thing that's going on in New York State that I wanted to talk about, which we're going to dive into, that can absolutely and could affect every single dog owner in the world. And it's basically a new dog trainer licensor bill, right? So I'm not a lobbyist. I'm not a politician. I've worked with them, but I don't know much about how this stuff works. But I do know that anybody in any state can bring to legislative new laws and bring it to legislation and can say, hey, this is what we want to do, and we need to make this a new law. And then it gets brought up to like the Senate, and then all these things start to happen. Like, hey, should we do this? Should we vote on this? Should we pass this? Should we not? And literally, you can put out, I think every dog in New York State needs to be brown or white, and so every other dog needs to be destroyed. I mean, you could bring that, and it would come up into these conversations. So anyway, it's just crazy how this works. But again, I wanted to give you my 2 cents, and more importantly, I think just let you guys know that it's happening. So many times these bills get kind of snuck in there and stuck under the rug and keep hush hush and be like, hey, we need to pass this because of these reasons. And the way that they're written is extraordinarily subjective, right, to the person who is putting these things together. Like, if you don't pass this, the world and doom and puppies and babies die if we don't do this. And so I just wanted to bring it to your attention, talk about it, give you my thoughts on it. And so what's happening? New York State, I'm reading this from the ICP. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see it over here. What's happening? New York State lawmakers have introduced legislation, Senate Bill S7723 and Companion Assembly Bill A6985 that would establish mandatory licensing requirements for individuals providing basic obedience training to pet dogs. Now, my thoughts on having... Okay, so I think that the licensee thing is more of a money grab from New York State than anything. We want every single pet-related business, because then they're going to do daycares and dog walkers and groomers and everything. And there's a significant difference between having a license and having credibility and experience and certifications. I mean, they're all kind of different compartments, but a license would essentially be a way for New York State to collect money. And a lot of times they then associate it with like kind of checklists, and part of these checklists are now, and I think, I don't know, but that's why I want to talk about it. But these bills would direct the Department of Agriculture and Markets to create licensing standards that exclusively endorse non-aversive, evidence-based, positive reinforcement training methods and prohibit others. So that means if you train or you have a dog, you can't train a dog any other way than what they're saying, right? So non-aversive. So again, like being objective, I'm going to walk through these things. Non-aversive. So let's just like define aversive online, right? Aversive, causing strong dislike. Okay. So causing strong dislike, right? So that has to be defined, right? Let's say you put a dog on a harness or on a leash and they want to go run to the ducks on the other side of the road, you stop them. That is going to cause a very strong dislike. I don't like this. I want to continue to go. I want to chase the ducks. I want to pull you. I want to jump on guests. I want, so again, and I'm being objective here. I don't know what the details are on all these things, but non-aversive would be, you can't do anything the dog doesn't like. A strong dislike. The dog wants your chicken sandwich. You tell them no. They're drooling. They're hungry. Give it to them. I don't know. Is that what that means? Like that the dog would be really disappointed and strongly hate that, right? If we said that. And then evidence-based. Again, to what evidence? Again, like objectively, I have thousands of videos. I have, I think, we counted up the other day, 6 to 12 million viewers across the channels a month that watch my stuff. I don't, even if half of them found it informative and helpful, like what is the evidence that we would need to say that these types of trainings work? And then positive reinforcement, right? So, okay, positive reinforcement by definition is to reward the dog for a behavior we want to see again in the future and to tell the dog that they've done good, right? That's basic. Everyone with a leash should know that if we tell a dog, hey, good, I want you to sit or I want you to heal, like the dog understands that this is good. So that means if your dog jumps on you and you move away, you're correcting the dog. You're using negative punishment. If, I could go on with all these different analogies, but again, like this is kind of, and I kind of have to transfer between dog owner and dog trainer here, but it's kind of scary because these things aren't defined. Like if that gets passed as is, nobody could train dogs. Like even if you're like, I'm going to use a retractable leash, a harness and cookies. I could stand under the verbiage here, I could stand there and probably tell you how you're correcting your dog and causing aversive effects on your dog 100 times within a 30-minute session, right? Like these have to be defined. These are the scary things. And again, I don't know who's bringing these laws up to Congress or the Senate. I don't know what their motives are. I don't know. But I do know like when they were trying to pass the law of banning e-collars. They framed it. I mean, it's like when you see political parties running against one another, they frame them in such a grotesque and dark way of never, you should never do these things. You're a terrible human. And what they did for the remote collar campaign is they called it a shock collar. And then they just kept putting like these puppies in the ads. Like they would hold up puppies, these cute little puppies, and they would say, stop animal cruelty. And any person with a soul, who I have dogs laying around all over my house right now, would be like, yeah, I want to stop animal cruelty. And then they would go to say, well, if you want to stop animal cruelty, we need to take away all e-collars. And I'm like, well, I train all my dogs to reliably and safely go off leash with my remote collars and all my clients all over the world. So those are two separate things. I think animal abuse is already defined in the New York state laws, and it doesn't have anything to do with how you train your dog necessarily and what tools you use. There's just a threshold and an objective opinion on, yeah, that's a real crappy thing to do. You know, I don't even want to talk about what people do with dogs, but so, and again, I want to make this video and in this podcast to just talk about it. So again, this is taken from the International Association of Canine Professionals, which is an organization that has a balanced spectrum. They support all trainers out there that are helping all dogs of every walk of life. So it's not just positive reinforcement only to capture and teach puppies and new behaviors and teach things. It's also working with people like me who deal with dogs who have a bite history and who are insecure and who are nervous and have been beaten and abused and they don't trust people and they may want to bite somebody. We can't use positive reinforcement to stop a dog. Like if I had a dog on a leash right now and they went to bite you and I pulled them back and corrected on the collar out of instinct, you would be held accountable with this law. You can't do that. You need to let them do what they want to do. So it's not realistic. It's not fair. All right. Number two is basically what this says is it's a one size fits all in quotes approach, mandating that only one methodology, aka positive reinforcement, is acceptable, excluding legitimate tools and techniques used by balanced, certified trainers, multimodal trainers. This approach is not appropriate for every dog and every behavioral issue and may jeopardize the success and or rehabilitation cases of complex or behavior modification programs, end quote. So I agree with that. If you guys watch my channel and you see the things that I do, I don't put out content I shouldn't say that because I have recently with my puppies, but I put out content usually on behavior modification. Dogs who have come in that have bitten other people, the owners are sitting there crying, they've worked with 6 trainers, their arms have been pulled out of the socket, they've gone through surgery, plastic surgery, they're doing everything they can to keep their beloved dog and they've never told their dog no. I mean, you guys know. If you don't know, you should check out my channel because we have about 4 years, every single week, 4K documentation and evidence of all that stuff. So number three on their list is government overreach into a profession without defined standards, which is what I'm talking about. Like we have to define, like under those circumstances, it would quite literally mean that, are we going to take away fences? Dog goes out into the yard. They smell their owners on the other side. They want to go. That's aversive. They want to get there. You're stopping them. You're using compulsion. You're using aversive techniques. You should just let the dog go. Get rid of the...
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom. It's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Fences, take down the fence. And again, you might be thinking, oh, Tom, that's crazy. Like, that's a little radical. It's like, it is. But that's what this law is saying, that nobody can correct their dogs. Nobody can use tools that correct dogs. So again, if I had a client that says, hey, Tom, I'm a 40-year-old single mom of 3. We just got this big Labrador mix. The kids love him. He's the best dog in the whole world. But man, I can't walk him. He drags me down the road. He's too powerful. He's too strong. He's too excited to see new people. You would basically say, well, we need to train the dog what we want them to do, which is heal. And they say, okay, cool. We teach the dog how to heal. But then the moment that they see a squirrel or another person or the kids get off the bus and they're here, we couldn't stop that behavior. We couldn't tell them that that was inappropriate and therefore the dog wouldn't be walked. Therefore, if you're in rescue and you're in shelters, you know how many dogs get put into the shelters because of dogs getting, you know, dragging people around. So all these things would be super harmful for the dog. So it's number four is this, is it's harmful for other states and, in my opinion, other parts of the world. If New York enacts this licensing framework, it could pave the way for other similar restriction and legislation across the country. Legislation that often lacks input from working trainers like myself, behaviorists, and those who handle dogs professionally every day. End four. So I agree. I agree with that. I think this is just, and again, it's like, I personally think that my chair keeps falling down. I personally think that it is, and again, my opinion, selfish, and the amount of entitlement to go to state legislative senates and government and say, hey, this is the way that we train dogs. This is the way we believe that we need to train dogs. This is the way that dogs that we work with learn. And every single dog owner, professional trainer, behaviorist, et cetera, owner needs to abide by these laws. To me, that is, if New York State said nobody could use harnesses and flexi leashes ever again, I would have the same opinion. I would say that's not fair. It's not fair. Or if they said every single dog needs to have an e-collar because they need to have reliable off-leash freedom, I would say, well, that's also not fair. We can't tell people what they can and can't do. A, not every dog is going to go down that same. It's like telling kids, it's telling people like, hey, I'm vegan. I'm a carnivore. I'm a vegetarian. I'm going to go to the state and I'm going to say every single person needs to eat the way I eat. Every single person needs to be a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or like you can't. That's just, I don't know. To me, it sounds crazy, but some of the conversations I've had with Dr. Cotty, which is a behaviorist that I spoke with, and some of my trainers at my facility, they're like, crazier shit has happened. Like, this has gone unnoticed before, which is crazy. Like, so that's why I'm making this video. And again, I wanted to put out some different types of content for you guys and just kind of get it out, right? Like, maybe like I was thinking in my head, like a morning show, like every morning, every other day, you know, maybe three times a week. I don't know. I come on here and I talk about what's going on, current events. Anyway, so I don't know. These are my thoughts on it. Let's get into this first. What you guys can do. It doesn't matter where you live. What you can do is let your senator and assembly member know that you oppose section or S.7723 and A6985. I'll put all the information in the show notes. Don't worry if you're driving or listening to this while you're doing dishes. Urge them to reject unnecessary regulation that would eliminate consumer choice and harm the training profession. So if you're a trainer out there, if you're a dog owner who utilizes tools and has helped you in any way, this is the way that you can say, hey, wait, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Because here's the thing that I've seen is you get politicians, and I've worked like Andrew Cuomo. He just called me 2 days ago, right? He was the governor of New York State. He was for a long time. He's been in politics and his family's been in politics forever. When the e-collar ban was going on in New York State, it was kind of like, I was laughing about it. I'm like, guys, the governor uses the remote collar because I trained his dog and that's what he wanted, was off-leash freedom at the mansion. So, but when I was talking to him about it, it was like, when you're a senator or a congressperson or somebody in the government, you got to realize that people are handing these things to the government saying, hey, we need every single dog to not be abused. There's things out there. There's people out there abusing dogs. That's what they believe, right? That's 1,000% subjective, right? That's what they think, right? That's their opinions. Totally okay to have it. No worries. But that's what they're giving these lawmakers and these lobbyists of like, hey, we need to ban all these things that are super abusive. Do you like dogs? Do you want dogs to wear a prong collar? And if you were to ask me or the majority, see, the thing is majority of people actually use tools. Dog owners, the everyday people who have dogs use tools. There's a select small group of people who don't use tools. I have a new shirt that I don't have on right now unless I show you. It's called Community Over Cult. I think that those are more cult-like type of things. And so that's what you guys can do. This gives you an opportunity to speak out because these people don't know, right? Like they don't know. They're like, yeah, we should probably. Yeah, I don't want dogs to be abused. Where do I need to sign? But then they don't realize when the e-collar ban. One of the bans was going on, and I don't speak up often about these things because, to be completely honest, I'm like, that is not going to get anywhere. But I wanted to make content around it because I just kind of wanted to do this new concept and this new show. I can't imagine this getting anywhere, but it's crazy how these things actually get to where they are. But in defense of that, like, anybody could also put this bill in. I could put a bill in right now with 5,000 people, say we need to ban dogs that are brown, like, you know, whatever. So anyway, that's what you guys can do. It's an interesting thing. I personally, it would even affect, right? Because here's what would happen is, let's say this passed, it would affect every dog trainer in New York State. Because there's going to be people that are going to go to people who have a licensure, and they're going to go in and they're going to say, hey, your dog just wanted to walk out that door and you told them you couldn't. You're using aversive punishment. I'm writing you up. I'm taking a video. I'm sending you in. Like, this isn't going to be enforceable, right? It's like, we have to define that, because I could use a remote collar and condition it with a dog. Not aversive. More evidence than we know what to do with. And it's... in conjunction with positive reinforcement. Like, that's how I do the remote collar, right? So again, we'd have to define what these things are. We also would have to define, like, how the owner feels. The owner would say, I'm going to euthanize or get rid of my dog, which would cause me tons of aversive thoughts, trauma, depression, sadness. And then if we used an e-collar or a prong collar to correct the dog from that behavior, like, no, that's not aversive. That changed my life. Like, right? All these things would have to be defined. None of this stuff would be, again, enforceable, in my opinion. But again, like, I love dogs. But what I love more is the ability to be a trainer and to be able to think on my own and do things that I need for the dog's sake and not have to worry ever about, oh, is this legal or is this not legal? Like, that's crazy. I've done tons of seminars in different countries worldwide, in countries and in areas in Australia and in Netherlands and in Portugal that they have rules and regulations on certain things. And I respect those things, but everywhere I go, people are like, we use them all anyway. Doesn't matter. Like, none of these things matter. We use these things, because it helps the dog. Right. And so I don't know, this is crazy in my opinion, as a dog owner standpoint, like, but as a professional, I would just say that it's not going to go anywhere, because I mean, again, like, I could say, well, what's non-aversive training? Okay. Again, the dog wants your chicken sandwich. You tell them they can't have it. That's aversive. They want it. How do you know? Dr. Hilliard, Stuart Hilliard, he's the Department of Defense canine, one of the canine trainers there. And I was at a seminar talking to him about it. And he said, how do we know as dog owners and as trainers that withholding food from a hungry Labrador retriever is not more punitive than correcting them for jumping with a prong collar? We don't know. Like, this is all subjective on every single dog and every single case, and sometimes on every day, right? And so this would be so sad. It would be sad for every dog. Like, people may think, oh, we did it. You didn't do it. Because now all the people that you just blocked out of helping those dogs are going to be in your lobby, watching your social media, reporting you every single time your dog on a harness pulls past you and you say, oh, okay, come here, sweetie, come back here. We're going to be reporting you because that's aversive. You just told the dog they couldn't do what they wanted to do. And you just put 60 to 160 pounds of pressure on their front chest and in their organs. And that's abusive and that's aversive and the dog doesn't like it and it's punitive. Blah, 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 right? It's like this crazy continual war. Not my war. Not my war at all. I just want to give information to dog owners and help them in any way, shape, or form that I can. Sometimes we use equipment. Sometimes we don't. It's not what I live and breathe by, right? So, I mean, behind me, you guys can see, I have my e-collar. I also have peanut butter. I have my No Bad Dogs treats. I also have some coffee. I also have a million plays or a million subscribers on YouTube, right? So anyway, thank you guys for watching. If you like this, please let me know in the comments. If you're listening to this on Spotify, let me know in the comments, because you can comment on Spotify now. And if you're watching this on YouTube, let me know if you want me to do this a couple times a week. Just kind of do this Tom Davis, wake up with Tom Davis, where maybe I come down here with my matcha or my tea and I talk about what's going on this week. Let me know. Appreciate you guys. Talk to you next time. Peace.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good.
Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.